Joining us now from the Baltimore Sun, he's up there pretty much in your vicinity, in the Bronx, Dan Conley. Dan, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing all right. As you can tell, I'm a little crestfallen after last night, but still hopeful. And I know a lot has been brought up about Jeffrey Mayer, that little pencil neck, for his involvement in Game 1 of the 96 American League Championship Series, which led directly to the tying run being scored in that game. But the Orioles did win Game number 2, so that's how I'm going to try to look at this. The Orioles being resilient and bouncing back from a heartbreaking loss. Dan, you've been around the team all season long, so it's not out of the question that that could happen.
Not out of the question at all. I mean, you know.
Maybe it is.
Not out of the question, and that's it.
That was an abrupt end to that conversation there. But Zeno, as you well know, the Orioles, even though it was a devastating loss, does not mean that they're going to sit there and go, woe is me, and just wait for the inevitable to happen. I fully expect them to be competitive in tonight's game.
Every time the Orioles have had their backs against the wall, they've responded. They've done it all year long, and I don't think there's any reason to believe that they won't respond tonight. I don't know if that translates into a win necessarily, but they could have easily been up 2-1 in this series. They could easily have swept this series.
Sure.
So they've never been out of it. I mean, it's not like they're getting their doors blown off and they're totally outclassed. They're not outclassed at all by this Yankees team. They're right there with them. It's just a matter of one or two plays that have made a difference in each game.
It's been a slim margin between the two. Dan, you're back here, and I appreciate you joining us.
Sorry about that, guys. I said it wasn't out of the question that I got hit by a New York mugger.
That's right. But didn't take your cell phone, so that was very nice of that person for not doing that. That being said, the mood in the locker room after the game was what?
Well, you know what? I would say it was fairly normal, except Miguel Gonzalez showed a little bit of cracks there. He, he was obviously very upset, and he was kind of talking to us for a little bit, and he said that his heart was broken after seeing those home runs hit. And there was definitely a sense like, all right. You know, this is it now. And we've been talking about how we're resilient all year, but now we really have to show it. And I think that I don't think these guys can be affected. I think they're going to be back to who they are again today. Whether that's good enough, I don't know. But I think they're going to be back to that. But last night, guys, they definitely felt it. I mean, they thought they were two outs away from going up 2-1 on the New York Yankees. And now they have, two consecutive do-or-die games. That's a big momentum switch.
He's Dan Connolly of Baltimore Sun. All the focus has been on the Yankees lineup and how it's going to be stacked. Is there any indication that there would be a change in the Orioles lineup tonight?
I don't really think so. I think Buck's going to go with what he's got. But, I mean, let's face it. These guys, the guys who have gotten you there, the guys who need to do something, specifically the J.J. Hardys, Adam Jones, and Matt Leiters, they're struggling. They're struggling mightily here. And I mean, it's on them. I mean, you don't want to put too much on one guy, but Adam Jones, I mean, he's the big money guy. He's the superstar. He's got a hit here. I think he's 1-for-12 or 2-for-12. And those three guys combined are like 4-for-38 or something ridiculous. They need to step up. You can put it on Jim Johnson all you want. Jim Johnson, I mean, he gave up one run in that game. It's obviously very, very costly, but they need to score, and they haven't scored.
Dan, let's talk about the pitching here for the Orioles for a second. And I know the offense has scuffled, and they have for kind of like 10 days, it seems.
Right.
But Hamill was outstanding his first start in 3 weeks. Chen was outstanding. Gonzalez, in my opinion, was great last night. I know, Zeno, I don't like to use the word great liberally, but I'll use it today as far as describing his performance. But what about Joe Saunders? Any level of surprise that he's getting the call tonight over Chris Tillman, who hasn't pitched in over a week now?
Well, I am a bit surprised because I think that Tillman's your best pitcher or has been one of your best pitchers, and you go with that hand. That said, Chris Tillman has never pitched in this kind of atmosphere, the playoffs and Yankee Stadium and do or die. And, he hasn't pitched particularly well against the Yankees in his career. So I think that had something to do with it. I mean, not only has Joe Saunders done this, he did it a week ago. He did it on Friday in a do-or-die situation with Texas. So I think that's what Buck is leaning toward. If it were me, I probably would go with Chris Tillman, to be honest. But they're going with it. And the one thing you also have to look at is they're going with the left-hander. With that short porch and right, and we saw what happened with two balls, although one Avanya's ball would have landed anywhere. But, there's a lot of home runs hit, especially by left-handers. You get a left-hander on the mound that might change a little bit here. So I don't know. I mean, you know, Joe Saunders been very good for the Orioles, but I mean, that's a huge task to ask him to do it twice, and that's what the Orioles are asking.
Covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. Dan Connolly joining us, Haney and Zeno here on The Fan. I heard Adam Jones' explanation of what happened in center field. Your thoughts on whether he just misplayed the ball or everybody's talking about the stupid bubble? I mean, I'm sure he's not happy with his play, but what did you get from him?
He blew it. And he basically said there's no mistakes to it. He just misread the ball. And that's exactly what I saw. I mean, it looked like he did not think the ball was hit as hard as it was. He came in a little bit on it, then he went back out of it. It looked like he was doing it laconically. And, you know, the bubble thing is just stupid. The guy blows his bubbles all the time. He blew two of them during that tracking down. It's kind of like Michael Jordan and the tongue-wagging thing. It's just part of what he does. He doesn't even realize he's blowing bubbles. It's not that he's being laconic or lazy. That's just what he does as he goes after balls, as he tracks balls. It just looks terrible because, you know, it looks like he's being lazy when the ball gets hit over his head. He made a mistake. He just made a terrible read on that ball, and that's what it comes down to. It wasn't like it was laziness. He thought he had it. He didn't think it was hit as hard as it was. That's why he wasn't, you know, on a beat as soon as he saw that it was going over his head. He just blew it. I don't think it was anything lazy. He just made a mistake.
And not blowing the bubble, blowing the angle on the the fly ball, of course.
I mean, he actually blew the bubble twice during that tracking of the ball. That's what he does. I mean, it's just, you know, how many times have we seen him make a great play blowing the bubble? No one says anything about it. That's just his thing. I mean, it's not like he's trying to blow bubbles. It's just, you know, everyone does something mindlessly as they're concentrating on something, and that's what he does. But it just looks bad when he blows, you know, when he blows the play like that.
All right. Any question from your end at all about Buck Showalter and the strategy last night as far as, you know, taking Chris Davis out for defensive purposes, given the fact the Orioles play a lot of extra inning games because Davis wasn't there, his bat anyway in the, I believe it was the 10th or 11th inning. Taking Miguel Gonzalez out, which quite frankly, I don't understand what people are crying about because Darren O'Day was perfect in the eighth inning anyway. So anything at all that Buck did or didn't do that you would question?
Not on this end. I mean, the Chris Davis move is we can look at it back now and say, oh, he really could have used his bat in the 12th inning. But at the time, he just came out of the order itself. And, I mean, you know, you can make that argument, but let's face it, Ron Washington is still being dogged to this day for not taking out Cruz and putting Andy Chavez into that game in the World Series. When the ball got hit over Cruz,
right.
So you don't want to make that defensive move. That was the right move to make. Yes, Chris Davis was, I think, four for 10 or something like that in this series. So obviously he's one of the best hitting, you know, Orioles at this point in this series. But at the same time, you got to play for the win, and the win says you got to have your best defense out there possible. And Chris Davis isn't anywhere in comparison to Andy Chavez defensively.
Hey, Dan, real quick before we let you run, how stunned were you guys in the press box that Ibanez pinch hit for A-Rod last night?
You know, there was actually murmurs that it could happen, so I can't say I was stunned. I was more bemused. it's kind of funny what's going on with A-Rod. Every time he steps to the plate now, he's getting booed. He did get some casual applause before the game when he was introduced, but, you know, as soon as he started making outs, he started getting booed here. And, I mean, I was more surprised, guys, that A-Rod batted third yesterday, not that he was pinch hit for.
Dan Connolly covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun tonight, 7:37, game four. Hopefully there will be a game five tomorrow afternoon around 5 o'clock. Dan, as always, we appreciate the time. And next week, hopefully we'll be talking about the Orioles in the ALCS.
You got it. All right, fellas, take care.